questions come up. And a follow-up from Jay Lee. No, I'm sorry, Jim Lee, not our resident geek, Jay. Many in the creative professions were nerds in their past because they spent so long reading comics and using their imaginations when they were growing up. Take care of each other. Peace.
And now, a word from one of our listener sponsors.
Hi, this is Wes. I'm a supporter of KPFT since the 1980s. My two children bought me a radio in 1996 for Father's Day, and I turned it on to KPFT that day, put it in my workroom. I have never turned the radio off since. It plays KPFT 24/7, and I want to say again, anyone out there that listens to KPFT, please be a proud supporter. It's a wonderful station. You learn so much, and it is so diverse. Thank you.
We're sharing stories from our listener sponsors to celebrate Giving Tuesday. But you don't have to wait till December 3rd to join us. Become a member today by calling 713-526-5738 and choose option 1. Or go to kpft.org to make your secure donation. Thanks for supporting your community radio station, KPFT.
Hey, everybody. This is Jesse Date. KPFT means a lot to me as a musician, especially because when I was a younger guy, I lived over in the Montrose, literally like one block over from the station, and I would listen to KPFT nonstop. They would play entire records by Townes Van Zandt. I mean, it was insane. It was such an influential thing on me in terms of the songwriters that KPFT supported. And you would hear everyone. You would hear Willis Allen Ramsey and Billy Joe Shaver and Guy Clark and just all these amazing writers. So I don't think I would have taken writing as seriously if I wouldn't have listened to KPFT. Hey, everybody, this is Jesse Dayton, and you, my friends, are listening to KPFT in Houston, Texas.
Hi, this is Clint Broussard from Blues and Hi-Fi, and you are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT, Houston.
Hi, this is Pat Greer. Thanks for listening to Vegan World Radio, KPFT 90.1, Radio for Peace.
Soul food working like mac and cheese, the collard greens, the black eyed peas, and get a roast of that tofu turkey. Got cornbread, even got stuffing. Mashed potatoes so good, put your hand in it. Stream beans, and you know we got yams with it. Got cabbage and greens with no ham in it. You can fill your plate up without all the guilt. We whip pies up out of almond milk. Everything that you touch gonna be dairy free. So good, got me back in the kitchen. Can't lie, boy, the mac and cheese hit. Low key, got the situation lit. Bro, you say the same cheese, nigga. Tell me how you did it. How the hell you getting milk out of coconut and cashews? Barbecue sliders out of jackfruit. And it tastes so good, gotta grab two. And desserts, they about to get smashed too. Got vanilla cookies, eat them like it's nothing. Got the lemon and the blueberry muffin. I got sweet potato, apple pie, and pumpkin. Taste buds and bean pies and jumping. Got cupcakes, raspberry icing. Top it off with coffee and some light cream. Or the vegan cookie dough vanilla ice cream. Need a plate for your leash. Tell me what you need. I got
beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, the raw beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rats. Yeah, go ahead.
So happy vegan Thanksgiving, y'all. Hope it was good for you, whatever you did. For myself, last week, I had a fascinating trip to Merida, Mexico. Some real ups and downs, and also interesting vegan food. For example, have y'all ever heard of tree spinach? What they also call chai, C-H-A-Y, which I'm sure I'm saying wrong. Interesting, made into drinks, and it's in meals and dishes and whatnot, and I guess you eat it while wearing a sizzle shirt and laying in a hammock, which apparently hammocks were invented in the Yucatan. I didn't know that. That's cool. Also, while there, I was lucky enough to visit a Mexican shopping mall where I found that the Sears and the Radio Shack brands are still alive in Mexico. And I also checked out the movie Wicked, fully translated into Spanish. I was surprised that they sung all the music in Spanish. In fact, even the letters that they wrote in the movie were written in Spanish. All the signs on the walls were in Spanish, well, most of them. And you would think, just from watching that, that Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo were actually native Spanish speakers because they got it so smooth. Of course, they used different voice actresses. The movie did have very strong animal rights themes, which I wasn't expecting. And here's a spoiler alert, just mild spoiler alert. Elphaba, she's the green one, and the supposed Wicked Witch, she definitely throws down for the animals in this movie. While the Wizard of Oz proves to be a fascist, as well as a fraud, who is using animals as his outgroup, the enemy that all fascists need to scare and unify their followers. Of course, we mean talking animals here, so it's a little complicated. But still, the anti-fascist message and the animal rights messages are there. But perhaps put so subtly that I kind of wonder how many people actually catch them as intended by the filmmakers. Still, interestingly, both leads of the movie, both Grande and Erivo, play the green witch, or I guess the regular witch and the green witch, respectively. Both of those ladies are vegan in real life, according to the internet, multiple sources on the internet. And in the movie, those characters sure do cotton on to their talking goat professor, talking about having solidarity with him, even if they don't do that much to save him. At least so far, this is just part one. Apparently, the book and the movie diverge here. The goat dies in different ways in each of those, apparently. And it's never explicitly said that the wizard has introduced the idea of eating animals to Oz, but it's pretty strongly implied, as far as I could tell, of course, watching the movie in a language which I barely speak. But the imagery was pretty clear. And I've since read up on a lot of other people's takes on this as well. Why were they animals? Well, fascists compare their enemies to animals. Vermin, swine, sound familiar? And every fascist needs a scapegoat. A scapegoat, get it? Maybe the book author wasn't vegan, but I tend to suspect that everybody who eats meat has it like deep down in the back of their head somewhere under all the excuses. They kind of know that eating helpless, low man on the totem pole, childlike animals is actually wrong. And I bet that somewhere the author was channeling this unconscious realization. But anyway, I hope everybody listening in the tattered remnants of Radioland out there had the sort of week that they wanted for the Thanksgiving holiday. All good stuff for you guys, I hope. Although the news media has been repeating an estimate that 45 million living and feeling turkeys ceased to be living and feeling for the sake of last week's holiday. So it obviously wasn't great for them. And last week, for the last time, Joe Biden, President of the United States, pardoned two turkeys at the White House before Thanksgiving Day. Peach and Blossom from Minnesota, they were given the chance to gobble on, as the article says I read. Apparently, this tradition can be traced back to President Abraham Lincoln, 1863, when he spared a turkey's life because his son Tad befriended the turkey. You know, so often we see that children who haven't been steeped in the excuses can see animals for what they are. And doing my due diligence for the journalistic standards worthy of KPFT, I have read online that those pardoned turkeys are presented every year by the National Turkey Foundation. So I wonder about that, because can we really trust the National Turkey Foundation with keeping those birds pardoned and not from becoming body parts in somebody's chest freezer? As our great former and future president, Drumpf, so eloquently at a turkey pardon event that he hosted back in 2020 when he was president, he said, quote, "Thanksgiving is a special day for turkeys, I guess. Probably not for the most part, not a very good one for them when you think about it," unquote. Thank you, Mr. Trump. And we did think about it. Thanksgiving sucks for the turkeys.
Dr. Dillemans, his classroom isn't just a classroom. It's a classroom with a door that looks like it's for a human, but actually only the bottom opens up.
All right, everyone, settle down, ladies and gentlemen, settle down.
The animals are a culture that is deeply embedded in the land of Oz. They have opened up schools. They have helped educate people of Oz. And they're in their own natural state.
Yes, Miss Glinda.
They have gadgets that allow them to live in an upright world. So when he turns on the projector, he uses his hoof.
There was a time before you were born when life in Oz was different. So, when and why did this change?
From what I've read, the Great Drought.
Precisely.
Okay, excuse me.
Like, raise your hand.
And so a little taste of the movie Wicked in English that time. I mentioned I saw this movie musical in Spanish in Mexico last week. The translation, as I said, was seamless. And incidentally, the voice actress who voiced Elphaba, who supposedly is the Wicked Witch, was Mexican-American actress Dana Paula. Apparently, she's also a vegetarian, just like Grande in Arrivo. Yes. Surely the liberal holiday elite are coming for your right to be cruel and vicious to animals, your right to tear their bodies apart, pull muscle from bone with your flat teeth that in no way resemble an actual carnivore's. And yes, Wicked is that vehicle. Surely by this time, 500 years from now, 12% of the American population, maybe 13%, will live on a low-violence diet instead of the scary, threatening 3-7% that is vegetarian in America right now. So you better hurry up, stockpile McDonald's, because every hit song from Wicked is one infinitesimal step towards people actually being nice. Or if y'all belly-aching conservatives don't like America, then you can just go eat in Mexico, where some of the male servers still laugh out loud if you ask if they have anything at all vegan. This is Vegan World Radio, and we are live on listener paid for KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. I personally can't believe it's December already. Just 48 shopping days left until the duly elected American fascist is sworn in. So if you're looking for places to escape, why not Merida, Mexico? It'll be fun for Americans, at least until the mass deportations start.
Hello, and welcome to Joyride with the Rainbow Goddess. I'm Itzel, and Itzel is the Mayan Rainbow Goddess. Today I'm going to share with you five fun and delicious places to eat in Merida, Mexico. Merida is a really beautiful beach town on the southern peninsula of Mexico. It's on the east side. The waters are super warm there. The people are very kind. It's actually one of the safest cities in Mexico, and I should know because my parents live there and I go there all the time. I would really recommend visiting the city because it's got jungle around it, it's got pyramids around it, and it's got these super cool spots called cenotes that are these underground waterways that were created by meteors. So they're like nothing else you'll ever experience. It's absolutely unique to this area in Mexico. So without further ado, let's get to those amazing places to eat. Yeah! First up, we have Avocado Vegetariano. We've actually gone there a bunch of times because I just love the place. It's got beautiful jungly garden vibes and really nice servers. They also have a menu with a lot of versatility. They've got things from breakfast to sandwiches and pizzas, a little bit of Mexican and American. They also have salads and amazing juices and smoothies. And they do a great job of balancing comforting flavors with really fresh ingredients, and they make everything from scratch. And they also run a monthly special, and we got to experience the unlimited pizza bar. Next we have La Cambuchería in downtown Mérida. One of the things I love about this place is that they have cute and quirky details that highlight local artisans and culture. And they have board games in the dining room and even a coin machine that has poems and flowers. Their menu is small and vegan and vegetarian. And one of my favorite things on there was the cauliflower tacos. The other thing that they do really well is their homemade kombuchas, which come in many flavors. Number three, we have Crush, your 100% vegan fast food eatery. I have to say, I love the indoor-outdoor feeling of the seating area and that you could get a fresh salad with your burger. They also had really good onion rings. And we got a few different burgers, and I have to say my favorite one was the black bean burger. And number four, we have Cenote y Restaurante San Antonio. It's the one vegan restaurant in Comul where all of the underground cave pools are located. The food was tasty, the service was super sweet, and the location was like no other. And last but certainly not least, we have Huitzili Saludable. This is one of my favorite spots. I've tried a bunch of their food and it's also good, but one of my favorites is definitely the Gringa Quesadilla. Thank you so much for watching. If you like this video, please do give it a big thumbs up. And if you'd like to see more videos like this or recipes, definitely subscribe to my channel and hit that notification bell so you get notified every time I put up a new video. Okay, well, thank you so much. Have a healthy, happy life. Yeah.
Well, the Rainbow Goddess said it better than I could, and I agree with her on the restaurant Crush. I did get to try that one. The vegan onion rings really were delicious, and some other Mexican food, like stuff that I'm not even sure what it was exactly, but it was delicious. In fact, as I was enjoying Merida for the most part, had some really good vegan food and some really mediocre vegan food, but all of it substantially cheaper than what it would cost here. Like here, it's hard to find a restaurant plate for less than $12 at a sit-down place. Seemed like they're the equivalent of like $7.50 was typical for a plate. And hotels were cheaper. A lot of things were cheaper there. And they say Merida is apparently the safest city in Mexico, as she mentioned. And I think it's probably true. Although I did see one guy late at night walking around with an iron pipe in his hand. So, you know, I guess he had his doubts. But I think, you know, up until like any time before midnight, it seemed okay from what I saw. Although I can't totally vouch for there. I was only there a couple of days. I do have a couple of thoughts on vegan junk food in Mexico, which is important to me, I have to say. Putting lemon in everything definitely gets a thumbs up. Lemon potato chips, lemon peanuts, or cacahuates sounds cool to me. The word they use comes from Aztec, cacahuates. Well, they say limon. Does that mean it's lemon? Or is it lime? Now I'm that confused. I forgot. But the limon Oreo cookies and the limon Fritos, it's just like Fritos, but with limon, definitely a yes on that one. On the other hand, unlike places like Germany, almost nothing is labeled as being vegan. And unlike here in the U.S., some things are labeled vegan, but not there. I'm scared of the V word. In Mexico, it's generally not, doesn't seem that much on the radar. And the vegan places, there are a lot of them, but they're kind of mainly in the tourist areas. And like here, most of the food does have meat and dairy in it, but you can find vegan and the food is cheaper when you find it. So that's definitely a plus. Also, the fruit in Mexico, definitely amazing. From what I've seen this trip and another short trip, they have all the stuff that we can get here, but actually better, like better avocados, better bananas for the most part. I did have a mango that wasn't that good, but still a wide range of tropical fruits. I don't know the names of them, but I've enjoyed them. And hey, I didn't get Montezuma's Revenge on this trip. I was really careful about the water. You know, you can't drink the tap water, so you have to carry on bottled water. Or I guess that's why they drink so much Coca-Cola in Mexico. And some of the vegan sodas, or some of my, almost all sodas are vegan. I don't think there's any sodas that are vegan. Some of the sodas in Mexico had some really interesting flavors. I really enjoyed trying out some of those, even though I wasn't always sure what they were. But while we're thinking about food, it's now time for the Helico-sponsored recipe for this name, Y-E-U-N-G. Got this off of YouTube as he walks us through an easy Mexican vegan soup.
Easy Mexican soup.
Half a red onion, diced. 2 pieces of garlic, chopped.
Scotch bonnets. Delicious.
Remove the seeds from the pepper and finely chop. The scotch bonnet is optional as it will make the soup quite spicy. Stock pot. Medium high heat. Olive oil. Onions, garlic, and pepper. Half tablespoon cumin. 1/2 tablespoon smoked paprika. 1/2 tablespoon chili powder. 2 tablespoon dried oregano. Stir. 1 800-ml can, peeled tomatoes. Crush the tomatoes and deglaze the pan. 1 can black beans. 2 cups corn. Stir. 6 cups water or vegetable stock. If using water, season with 1 tablespoon of pink salt. 3 tablespoons tomato paste. 2 tablespoons cane sugar. Stir. Bring to a boil and it's ready to serve. Plate. Avocado.
Because the soup is a little spicy, this avocado will just really help cool it down.
Cilantro. Tortilla chips. You can now enjoy this easy Mexican soup with absolute confidence.
And with absolute confidence, maybe, one can hope. You can find that recipe on YouTube if you search for a young man cooking, Y-E-U-N-G. That is his name, Y-E-U-N-G. Find that on YouTube. Or you can find some other recipe. There's only 483 quadrillion billion vegan recipes out there to try. It's easy ones. There's hard ones. There's ones with food you like. There's ones with food you don't like. There's ones you can modify. There's a lot of vegan food is not that limiting. There's so much stuff that you can eat that's vegan. And speaking of Spanish, since I mentioned I was a tourist to Mérida, Mexico this week. So I'm thinking about the Spanish language angle. I'm thinking about why is Mexican food so good? Like, why does this particular country have such an interesting cuisine? And I want to dedicate this next song to KPFT stalwart Stacy Davis's run serving traditional vegan Mexican food at her now sadly departed Radical Eats restaurant. Stacy took the time to sit down with many abuelas and experts in very traditional Mexican, you could call it peasant food, or the Mexican home-cooked meals. That people would make using things like cactuses and, of course, making homemade tortillas and masa and all that stuff, making your own hot sauces. And the reason so much of it is vegan is because meat used to be an expensive ingredient for the average person in Mexico. And so much of the traditional diet found ways to be absolutely delicious not using meat. So I'm dedicating this next Spanish language song to Radical Eats and Stacy Davis, but I also want to dedicate it to the two vegan, fully vegan Mexican restaurants here in Houston, the Spring Branch sit-down restaurant, Cascabel, and also Montrose's food truck, Vigos. And this...
Oh, quel camion, senza il minimo rispetto. Indifesi più indifesi, che sa già di andare a morte. Io vorrei sapere dove è scritto che per gli animali non esiste alcun diritto.
Fight for animals,
fight.
Fight for animals,
fight. Guardo in quegli occhi tristi chiusi dentro a quelle gabbie. Dopo questa crudeltà piegheremo quelle sbarre. Apriremo quelle gabbie, vili ecocriminali.
Animal liberation, animal liberation, animal liberation, whoa.
Basta i vostri esperimenti, più diritti agli animali. Apriremo quelle gabbie, vili ecocriminali.
Animal liberation,
animal liberation, animal liberation, whoa.
Hola to all the eco-criminales out there. And coming up next, it is now time for the weekly Vegan World Radio opinionated vegan news live here on KPFT for the week of December the 2nd. Even though opinion is not news, but Fox News pretends like they're news, so what the hell. Ellen DeGeneres, a vegan, has, and this is how you know this is live, because this actually just came out like this afternoon, this evening. Ellen DeGeneres is setting the record straight on the reasons for her relocation to the UK. Oh, she's a vegan, right? Ellen DeGeneres is a vegan. That's why this is part of the vegan news. She is moving to the UK along with her wife, Portia, and vowing never to return. And she said she didn't cite any particular reasons for moving abroad. According to CNN, it says a source close to the Star revealed to the press that the Star will never return until America is stabilized politically. Although, I think if you look at all the people such as Madonna, sorry, Amos, many others moved to the UK, and Green Day, never come back. there's a reason for that, y'all. Anyway, moving on to the next story here on the Opinionated Vegan News. With all of the meat alternatives for people out there, some of us are still troubled by having to feed our rescued cats and dogs meat for dinner. The dog part is actually already easy, and vegetarian vegan dog food has been around for a long time. It's fairly easy to find because dogs have a very flexible diet. They're true scavengers. Actually, in fact, their gut looks very similar to the human gut. However, cats have a very short intestine. They obviously have the teeth of a carnivore. They have the teeth that can pierce you quite viciously if they want to, and they require certain things found only in meat. At least in nature, those things are found only in meat, certain trace ingredients, as well as the kind of high acidity that food dripping in blood will give you. However, for some time, those trace ingredients that are in pet food have been synthesized from vegetable sources and added into the crap protein that's used in everyday pet food. And I mean literal crap, because that's mostly what poultry byproduct meal, chicken poop, is one of the main ingredients in pet food. I've never been convinced that it's bad for animals, but apparently doesn't have some of the stuff that cats need as an obligate carnivore. So if you've chosen to stop putting death in your mouth as a human, how can you keep your favorite feline carnivore healthy without paying someone to kill an animal to feed your cat? This has been a conundrum for vegans for a long time. But the development of those synthetic trace ingredients has opened the door to the possibility of feeding cats vegan. I myself fed a cat vegan for the first 4 years of her life with no serious bad effects, or no bad effects at all for her, but required me to bake her food every week from gluten and brewer's yeast. And plus I had to buy the cat-specific synthetic vitamins. And not really practical. For one thing, I was still living at home with my parents at the time. I was quite young. And the vitamin stuff had this thing added to it that made the food literally smell like corpse, which is necessary to get the cat's interest. So, you know, my parents didn't exactly look forward to me baking that every week. So, in for company, that was a long time ago too. That was like 20 something years ago. That was almost 30 years ago. Anyway, enter a company now in 2024 that has made their successful start beginning on ABC's Shark Tank program, the vegan pet food brand Wild Earth. They're in the news this week because apparently they're going to have a go at being in specialty pet food stores. After a couple of profitable years taking orders on Amazon, they've been taking millions of orders, millions of dollars, millions of orders already. So now they're going to try to be in pet food stores. So look for that. Definitely hoping for that to work out and hopefully come down in price as well. Or perhaps someday we could see lab-grown meat filling a similar function. In other news, live radio, y'all. Ricky Gervais popped up in the news this week to confess that he felt like he had to become vegan to avoid being a hypocrite. As an avid dog lover, he said, "I do a lot for animal charities, so I felt it hypocritical if I was saving dogs but eating sheep." So good on you, Ricky. Also in the news this week, the UK Vegan Society has been dithering in its support or the lack of support or possibly support for lab-grown meat. Seems they've mostly declare lab-grown meat to be not vegan, which means it can't get their nice little green letter V on the lab-grown meat packages, which is not really an issue so far because the technology isn't actually working yet, at least not to make anything larger than like a lab-grown, you know, thumb, I guess. And yet, even their own statement backpedals, saying that lab-grown meat would prevent an animal's suffering, would help conserve the earth by growing only the muscle of the animal, not the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the intestines, the brain, the nervous system, that give a farm animal a tiny view on the world for the months right up until the moment of slaughter. So lab-grown meat seems pretty vegan to me to get rid of all that, but we'll check back when it actually works. Meanwhile, the Vegan Society's point is that there are plenty of other kinds of great food to eat, which are definitely vegan, and we totally agree on that for sure here on the Opinionated Vegan News. Elsewhere in the newsosphere, the NBC show, The Today Show, already talking about Veganuary. That's the month when high-profile vegans, including Billie Eilish, Joaquin Phoenix, Alicia Silverstone, Mayim Bialik, or whoever else they can round up, Paul McCartney, always, they go on TV and they ask everybody to give the low-violence diet a try, if only for a month. And they probably say it in a real nice, non-offensive way that has so far led to something like 1% of the American population to be vegan, another 8% to be various shades of mostly not paying anybody to kill sentient animals. So try Veganuary, everybody, for the health, for the environment, and also for the animals. Shh, for the animals, too. And then, after January, I guess it's back to the animal mortuary down at Kroger for the next 11 months. Also in the news this week, author Lloyd Rose is over on Good Housekeeping's website promoting his new cookbook, Island Vegan, 75 Flavorful Recipes from the Caribbean, where you can learn to jerk just about anything from, I'm not sure what jerking is. It's something you do to food. But somehow I think that many Americans in 2024 would find that it comes fairly naturally. And this has been the Opinionated Vegan News on Vegan World Radio live here on the 2nd of December. Man, how is it December already? On KPFT 90.1, listener paid for radio, independent, commercial free. We are here for you. Please be here for us in the next fun drive. We're here for the animals. Up next, vegan songs for the holidays. Please enjoy them wherever you are.
This year, we're gonna do something different. This year, we're gonna have a vegan Christmas. Vegan marshmallows on an open fire. Hot chocolate for the cold. While my kids running wild out of sight. Nikki Strutz in her ruby red robe. Follow your nose to vegan turkey and greens on the stove. Peach cobbler's egg and dairy free. Tiny Tots, stay up late just to see what they've got. But deep down inside they know that it's just a story of a reindeer and Santa's big red sleigh. 'Cause everything they have comes from mom and daddy. We play along so there is no guilt with vegan cookies and oatmeal. And so I'm offering a simple phrase: good for the earth, animals, me and you. You've been asked many times, many ways, go vegan this Christmas. Will you? Ladies and gentlemen, doesn't matter if you're a rookie, if you're a vegan vet, pescatarian, humanitarian, whatever-tarian, health is wealth, and you deserve higher vibrational foods that'll put you in higher vibrational moods, just like this song I sing for you. And so I'm offering a simple phrase: good for the earth, animals, me and you. You've been asked many times, many ways, go vegan this Christmas. Will you go vegan?
Stuffing and gravy, time to take a sip. It's the Great Turkey Uprising.
feathers in the air. They're marching to the farmhouse with a gobble and a glare. Knives and forks are trembling, pies are in despair. The turkeys are revolting, run for your lives, beware. They stormed the coop with picket signs. No roasting us today. One turkey yelled, "We're not your feast, fine tofu, it's okay." They hijacked the farmer's tractor and drove it through the shed. Spraying corn and flapping wings will not end up dead. It's the great turkey uprising. Feathers in the air, they're pecking at the pilgrims and storming everywhere. Mashed potatoes shiver, the stuffing runs away. The turkeys want their freedom, they're carving us today. Now pies are hiding in the fridge, the cranberries have fled. The gravy boat is jumping ship, the green beans play dead. The farmer cried, "What's going on? This isn't how it goes." The turkey shouted, "Gobble, gobble, we're striking at your throats." The turkey seized the calendar and changed the fateful date. Thanksgiving's canceled, try pizza day. We'll seal your dinner's fate. Now tofu takes the table and veggies rule the meal. Turkeys sit in victory, no longer part of the deal. It's the great turkey uprising. Feathers in the air, no roasting, no basting, no gobbling despair. So this Thanksgiving, remember their brave fight. The turkeys won their freedom and they're sleeping well tonight. So raise a toast to the turkeys, let their story be told. The day they flipped the tables and got brave and bold. We'll all eat tofu now, but hey, it's not so bad. The turkeys saved their feathers, and for that, we're all quite glad.
The table's set. The candles glow, the autumn breeze begins to show. But more than harvest, more than feast, we're thankful for the fight that won't cease. For every voice that won't back down, for hands that build, love unbound, we gather here with hearts so true. Give our thanks for me and you. So let's raise a glass to those who care, who stand for justice, who truly dare. Through troubled times, Thanksgiving Day. For those who face the darkest skies, we keep them close, their dreams will rise. Together we'll hold them near and fight for a future they can revere. For every vote, every stand, for those who dream with open hands, we're building bridges, tearing walls, and standing strong when freedom calls. So let's raise a glass to those who fight for brighter days and peaceful nights. Thanksgiving Day. Though the road is steep, we're not alone. With every step, our strength has grown. The bonds we share will see us through.
because of you. So pass the bread, the laughter too. Give thanks for all that we pursue. For every heart, for every face, this is our time, this is our place. So let's raise a glass to those we love, to brighter skies and stars above.
As I said, those songs are all over at HartmanReport.com.
Into the warm, warm house, but no one would let the cat in. It was cold outside on Christmas Eve. She meowed and meowed by the door. She was not let into the warm, warm house, and her tiny cries were ignored. 'Twas a blizzard now, the worst of the year. There was no place for her to hide. Just then a poor little mouse crept by. He had lost his way in the snow. He was on his last legs and was almost froze. The cat lifted him with her paw. She said, "Poor mouse, do not be afraid, because this is Christmas Eve. On this freezing night, we both need a friend. I won't hurt you, stay by my side." She dug a small hole in an icy drift. This is where they would spend the night. She curled herself round her helpless friend, protecting him from the cold. She had died. They lifted her up from the frozen ground and placed her into the sleigh. It was then they saw the little mouse wrapped up. She'd kept him warm in her fur. "Oh, thank you, Santa, for finding us. Dear cat, wake up, we are saved. I'm sorry, mouse, but your friend has died. There's nothing more we can do. On Christmas Eve, she gave you her life, the greatest gift of them all. Santa lifted her up into the night sky and laid her to rest among the stars. Dear mouse, don't cry, you are not alone. You will see your friend every year. Each Christmas a cat constellation will shine to remind us that her love's still here.
Imagine being forced to live outside with only a thin coat to protect you from the bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in, and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
Someone told me it's all happening at the zoo. Can I believe it? Can I believe it's true? Rumors fly, so I thought I'd better go and see it for myself. At the fairs I saw this little girl in tears. I said, "Can you tell me, darling, what could possibly be so bad?" She said, "All the animals, they look so sad."
And now a word from one of our listener sponsors.
Hi, this is Wes. I'm a supporter of KPFT since the 1980s. My two children bought me a radio in 1996 for Father's Day, and I turned it on to KPFT that day, put it in my workroom. I have never turned the radio off since. It plays KPFT 24/7, and I want to say again, anyone out there that listens to KPFT, please be a proud supporter. It's a wonderful station.